Welcome to The Watchman, your weekly 60-minute expose on Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times we live, for the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think.
Welcome to this evening's show as we proceed with our events on Bible prophecy. And this week, a number of things have happened that I want to speak about here on this show that are of great significance in pointing towards biblical prophecy. Things that we've spoken about here before and that we are excited. I don't know about really being excited, but that we are watching anxiously as they come to pass in this biblical prophecy sequence that leads us to the return of the Lord, which I'm sure you already know right now is not that far away. Now, one of the things that we're going to be talking about here today, which astounded me when I heard it, is the passing by the United States Supreme Court of a law that makes same-sex marriage across American states illegality. But it's not just that, by the way, because I believe it's only just 14 states that were yet to legalize it. And so the law actually covered just 14 states, because the rest of the states had, I think, about 35 or 36 states had already legalized same-sex marriage. But the other things in there that were of absolute significance in as far as biblical prophecy is concerned. Now, I'll tell you at the beginning of this year that I told you 15 things that we'll expect at the in this year. And one of them was that we should expect the beginning of the fall of the greatness of America. Now, even prophets in America who have seen this fear to say it, because it is very unpopular. It's extremely unpopular, and anybody who says it, who is of any, you know, standing, immediately loses a following and what, because Americans have kind of been, you know, schooled in this thing of America is great, is always going to be great, and they are the proponents of good and everything that is positive, that is biblical, which for the most part they actually have been. But they are also now becoming proponents of negativity, of negative things, of anti-biblical things. For instance, whoever thought that there was a time when it is going to be America, which was when Barack Obama took over, 71% of people who professed to be believing and practicing Christians, now it is a state that is going to start promoting things like homosexuality, which are clearly anti-biblical stands. Whoever thought that was possible? Whoever thought that in 8 years of Barack Obama, America would turn around and turn full circle from what it once stood for to what it currently is going to be standing for? But then again, before the judgment of God comes on any nation, certain things have to happen. Because the judgment of God always comes after a hardened heart. We see that with Pharaoh in the book, of course, of Exodus, when he had to harden his heart so that the judgments of God should continue. Okay, now there's always a hardened, because, you know, David said in Psalms 51 that a humble and contrite heart, you know, the Lord will never despise. So, if somebody actually becomes humble and contrite, or if he breaks down and becomes repentant, there is no way God can bring his judgment on them, because it's against the nature of God to bring judgment on people who have humbled themselves and who have broken hearts. But every time there is a hardening of a heart, judgment comes after that. And sometimes a lot of the hardening of the heart is done by leaders in the nation. Like, for instance, Pharaoh, the Bible says actually that the princes of Egypt were telling him, are you waiting for the whole country to be destroyed before you accept that you cannot handle the God of the Jews? Why don't you just let them go so that we retain ourselves and we remain a country, because everything has been destroyed, all the crops, all the, you know, animals and things like that, everything is destroyed. But you see, until the leader softens his heart, there cannot be a turning away of the wrath of God. Now, if you see, so now I'll just go, let's say, in some kind of chronological order to show you how these things happen. So now, in the case of Pharaoh hardened his heart all the way until God had completed his judgments on Egypt. Now, you see later on, actually, in the book of, I think, 2 Samuel, when the Ark of God had been captured by the Philistines, the lords of the Philistines, and they took the Ark of the Covenant of God. And the Bible says that there were boils that broke out on their skin. Suddenly, the whole place started having boils, and then they would put the Ark in the temple of Dagon, their god, and they wake up in the morning, and their god is lying flat on his face before the Ark of the Lord, and they did it again, and it happened again. So they realized that this is not something we can handle. They kind of acknowledge that the God of the Hebrews is stronger than our own gods. So they said, how are we going to do this? That we shall return the Ark of the Covenant of the God of Israel to where it belongs, so that these plagues that have, you know, struck us stop. So they consulted, and they were told, this is how you're going to do it. Put it on a horse cart and send it away. If the horses go straight, then it means that, you know, we are getting these boils because of the Ark of the Lord. Now that happened, but crucially, in the run up to that, they told them that, listen, people of Philistine, let us not harden our hearts like the people of Egypt did, lest we incur the wrath of the God of Israel. So they softened their hearts, and they acknowledged the God of Israel. And the Bible says, as soon as the Ark of the Lord left, actually, the boys left, and the Philistines were okay, and they actually had some sort of blessing of God because they had softened their hearts. Now, when you come to the book of Jonah, who is one of them, so-called minor prophets, more or less the same thing happens, because Jonah comes and preaches to the people of Nineveh, which I've told you before here was a big city of 150,000 people. Now that was humongous by those days' standards. And Jonah comes and tells the people that yet 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. And the Bible says that the people heard it and they wanted and they repented. But it's only when the word came to the king and the king repented that, I'm reading from Jonah chapter 3 and verse 5, it says, so the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Then the word came to the king of Nineveh, and he rose from his throne and laid aside his robe, and covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd or flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water, but let men and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let every man turn from his evil ways and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger, so that we may not perish? Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil ways, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Now, that is, there is nobody who ever, because Psalms 51 says it, a humble and contrite spirit, that you will not despise. There is nobody who ever humbles himself before God, and God does not receive that humility. God always receives that humility and that pain, because that's in his nature. It is not in his nature. He does not want to destroy anybody. Even when he says that, it is because he is, even when he promises that something not good is going to happen, it is because he is expecting that the people will turn around, and then he will relent from that which he planned. So that's what. Now, when to go to the king, I'm reading from Psalms 51, that scripture which I've already said, for you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. Now, this is David, who is repentant after he had been approached by Nathan, following his sin in which he had committed adultery and then killed the husband of the man whose wife he had slept with in order to cover up his sin. Now he says that, for you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offerings. Then he says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, these, O God, you will not despise. Another translation says, you will never despise. Now, so when the people repented of Nineveh, God turned away from the planned judgment because he saw their broken hearts. Now, but it had to firstly get to the king, because a king is more than just somebody who leads. A king leads in so many other ways. But if the king hardens his heart as it was in the days of Pharaoh, then the judgment is going to come to that nation. Now, this is what we're actually talking about here, because there has been so many warnings in the run-up to all of this, everything that is happening here. There has been quite a number of warnings, and they have not been heeded by the people of the United States, because they don't want to think of themselves as a country that is capable. I mean, if you listen to all the American, even the prophecy teachers and everything, all of them think of themselves as, you know, almost righteous, beyond reproach. You know, America, the greatness of this nation, what, you know, the nation of God, and even the prophecy teachers talking about all this similarity between America and Israel, because America and Israel, so basically they are trying to say that after Israel, America is, you know, God's chosen nation. But it isn't, it's just another nation, a nation that became great because of the way it accepted the Jews after the Spanish Inquisition in 1492, and when Christopher Columbus discovered the nation. Okay, like the white people who are living in Europe went and discovered that there's some place that side of the Atlantic and called it America. And then a lot of the Jews who were persecuted at that time, who couldn't go anywhere in Europe, went to that place. And then eventually Christian pilgrims and so many other people. So as a result of that, they have been a blessed nation. But that blessedness is not guaranteed. But now that's the problem, because they think it is guaranteed. Now even the church has become complicit in so many things that are happening in that nation, because there is no way that all these things that you're seeing in America could have happened unless the church was first weakened. Now you have to understand that the devil has only as much access in a nation as the church will give him permission. That's why he first attacks the church, makes them weak, makes them subject to political leadership. That is the aim of every, that's the first sign that a church is falling, when the church ceases to guide the leadership of the nation, and the leadership of the nation is the one that guides the church. Now that is a complete progression from one end of the spectrum to another that causes a nation to collapse. Now when the church takes its position and starts guiding the affairs of the nation, then that nation is going to be great. Righteousness exalts a nation, the Bible says, but sin is a reproach to any nation. Sin is a reproach to any peoples. That's what the Bible says in the book of Proverbs. Now this is, but the leadership of the country, this is what, now people don't realize this, they get swept away by all the, you know, the cloud of smoke that is created by the world, and they get swallowed in into things, and they end up doing things that are totally against God, and then they reap the dividends therefrom, because they did not stand up to ask God. We know what the media says, we know what the news channels say, and everybody, now what do you say, oh God? No, they get swept in. Now, when Obama was coming into power, there was a whole wide, you know, worldwide, you know, almost tsunami, okay, to change people's opinions. He's the great leader, he's everything. But you have to understand that it is these people, the Bilderbergs, or the Illuminati, the Freemasonry, who own a lot of these news channels. And they promote the people who are good for them, and they try to character assassinate the people who are not good for them. Now, the trouble is, in 2008, when Obama came into won the election to become the US president, I actually wasn't as spiritually sharp as I am now. So I actually also got swept away in this whole thing of, you know, he's a black and he's all that. And now every time I look at it, I am thinking, how could I have been fooled? Because now I know that everything that you see greatly promoted, every person that you see, they cannot promote a godly man and raise him up there and put him on a high pedestal. No, they'll promote ungodly people because they are trying to promote ungodly characteristics, and they make you have role models of people who are not godly, who have no sense of God in them. And then they but when you start admiring those people, you are going to start admiring their characteristics, and eventually they take you off God. Now you have to understand that as a child of God, you should have your own role models, not the role models that the world puts out there for you. Now they swept us all with this Obama thing, and we got swept away, carried away. I remember spending the night awake in my house watching the election results and what, and celebrating every state that Obama won. And in the morning, I got a few hours of sleep, and I had to see his speech that he gave in Chicago after he had been elected president, and read all. And I got all carried away with all this thing. And now I'm thinking, how could I? But that was 7 years ago. How could I have been so easily fooled by what the world thought? Of course, because he was a black, I wanted to believe he's good. And because I am black as well. But now I know that I will never again put race ahead of godly issues. Now, regardless if race is not an issue, but you see, we blacks, you say people are racist when they discriminate against you, but you yourself are making decisions that are based purely on race. Now, okay, at least that is true for me. So anyhow, now Obama made it one of his main, he's pushing the New World Order agenda very seriously. It starts with America's relationship with Israel, which has soured so badly over the years, that right now America and Israel are not even sharing intelligence information. Now, people of course still have this thing that America is backing up Israel and things. Of course, America still gives Israel a lot of aid. They have no choice. Okay, because that one is passed in Congress, and what if Obama had a choice, he would stop it. And America still supports Israel in certain ways where they cannot avoid it. However, Israel no longer trusts America with its intelligence, because they don't believe if Obama is on Iran's side or on their side. So if Israel discover that Iran have all these nuclear weapons and what, Benjamin Netanyahu would rather go and discuss it with certain Republicans whom he trusts on their side, rather than with Barack Obama, whom he knows is actually practicing Muslim and is so anti-Israel in his rhetoric as well as his practices. And he's only kind of curtailed by the presidents of America and all the systems that are there. Otherwise, his true colors would come out. But in regard to Israel, he has been so so anti-it, and his animosity towards them comes out every once in a while, and comes out in a very raw form, and that's what led to Netanyahu saying that he has written them off. He has written off the Obama administration and said, we shall start talking properly with America after the 8 years of Barack Obama. And actually, Israel even tried actively to campaign for Mitt Romney in the past elections, because he was hoping that Obama would be a one-term president. That didn't work out. Anyway, Now what has happened is the Supreme Court, because these are judges who are elected. Now, you see, the politics determines a lot in the way these things are done, because judges are appointed by the politicians, and they are people who are of a certain persuasion. So now you're seeing judges who are so pro-homosexuality, and they are making decisions that are in that regard. I told you here before of a family of cake makers who had a small business making especially wedding cakes and all other cakes as well, as I believe. And these are people who were approached by two men who were planning to get married in a homosexual wedding. And notice I don't call it gay. Gay means happy, and what? There is nothing happy about homosexuality. They are homosexuals, or there's another word which probably I will not use here, but which is actually a dictionary word. But they are either faggots or homosexuals. As far as I'm concerned, I never call them gays. Gays is part of their language of trying to promote, because it sounds good. Now, when you say gay, 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 you're promoting it without actually knowing what you're doing. So they are homosexual, because you have to define them for what they are, and they are faggots. That's in the Bible. That's rather in the dictionary. I didn't write in a dictionary. You understand that? I didn't start this English language. If you go and check out the meaning of faggots, that's what they are. Somebody told me that's a very unkind word. I did put it in the dictionary. It is there. Okay? And I use an old Webster dictionary. So, on the word faggot, refers to homosexuals. So, anyhow, So these people, now he makes it Israel, his relationship with Israel, one of the main things, his removal of all that Islamic terrorism. You cannot hear that word said anywhere in America now since Obama took over. They will use terrorism and they try to play it all down and what. And they have tried so hard, the liberals, to play down the the correlation between Islam and terrorism. And then they make some people start saying, okay, no, I mean, are all terrorists Muslims? What about Joseph Kony? And what about what? And then people promote those arguments and they sound intelligent, and yet those are very stupid arguments. Okay? Now, if I'm a thief and you know I've stolen 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 things, then you say you're a thief. Then I say, no. Am I also the one who stole the money from Prime Minister's office, which Kazinda was accused of stealing? Can I cease to be a thief by mentioning what else I haven't stolen? I mean, that, what kind of argument is that? Okay? So if I've stolen 50,000 here, and I've stolen somebody's phone, and I've stolen, you know, let's say I picked up something from office, then if I'd done that, then I would be a thief. Now, then you tell me, no, you're a thief. Then I said, no, what do you mean I'm a thief? Am I also the one who stole the other one? And am I also the one who stole the other one? We know that 90% or more of terrorism in the world is associated with Islam, and it is because it is associated with Islamic doctrine. But of course, people will tell you all these arguments, and then they convince you, and then you become so easy to be convinced by very petty arguments, and you don't stand and think for yourself. Now, of course, Obama has changed all that opinion, but his biggest achievement is what he has done to America in regard to homosexuality. Now, you think this is a small thing, but I'm telling you it's a big thing. And now this is the trigger that had to happen for America, for the economy and so many other things to start collapsing. Number one, they've had a man there. There's that man called Jonathan Cahn, who is a Jewish rabbi, who wrote the book, The Harbinger. The man has warned them a number of times. He's told them that after 2001, he told them certain things which are in the Bible. He got them from Isaiah chapter 9, and he said that every time that something was going to happen, there was a warning. There was a pre-warning. He told them 2001 was a warning of what was coming ahead. If they did not turn around in their ways, especially in the leadership, 7 years later, which is, you know, the Pharaoh year, biblical year, something was going to happen. Now, September 11, 7 years later, to the very day, in 2008, the Lehman Brothers banking system collapses and triggers what is called the credit crunch, which lasted across Europe and America and perhaps a bit of Asia for a number of years, perhaps 2.5. Now, he said another 7 years, something else is going to happen. Now, from 2008, 7 years are 2015. And I told you at the beginning of this year, I know something is going to happen to America, because they have been extremely defiant. So defiant that when the Supreme Court ruled that same-sex marriage is legal across all the states in America, Obama, you know, put the White House in rainbow colors, in the colors of the rainbow. Now, of course, the one interpretation of the rainbow colors is that different people of different races living together. It was the first used for South Africa, the Rainbow Nation, because, of course, the rainbow has all sorts of colors. The 7 different colors of the rainbow. But it's more than that. It also means a new beginning. Now, he's actually declaring that this is a new beginning of America. Forget about the Christian America. And now you should see some of the effigies that the homosexuals were putting up. They were putting up a crucifix with a woman there, like posing like Jesus. They were putting up a crucifix with two men kissing and what. They are basically mocking Christianity, and this is the new nation that America is declaring. Now, this is how you have to understand that even the Christians who are caught in there and who do not believe those things are complicit in them, because if they had not taken a back stand and decided to be politically correct, none of these things would have happened. You cannot impose such anti-Christian laws on a country which has 70% Christian people, unless those Christian people have been dulled into accepting things that are not, you know, in the Bible. That's why it's important for us Christians now to stand up and insist on what is biblical. Very strictly insist on what is biblical. And that's why I was telling you here that we have to pray for the leadership of our nation, because if we choose wrong leaders who are going to let the West come and walk in here and institute all their rubbish, all the filth of the West, which so many African minds have been trained to believe is right, because they believe everything the West says is right. And the West is led by Freemasons, by Illuminati, and you get these things and their ideas somehow sound grand to you, and you accept them without question, and you dismiss those ideas that they dismiss, and you're falling into a big pattern of deception that Jesus Christ warned would come in the last days. Now listen to this, even the church is complicit in all of this, because if the 70% of the Christians had gone and voted against Obama, he would not have been president. And if the 70% of the practicing Christians at least had let him go for 4 years and used, because maybe before that they wouldn't have known what kind of person he is. But they knew what kind of person he is even after that. And then they go in there and they vote for him again. And now they are going to suffer the consequences of it. And starting this month that starts today, you are going to see what is going to happen to the United States. This was the trigger that had first happened, and a declaration by the presidency of that country that this is a new beginning for America. Forget about the America of Christianity, the America that promoted what, although that can still be there in spades, but as a national consciousness, or at least from the level of the leadership of that country, they are making it clear that this is the beginning of a new America that is promoting very anti-Christian practices. Now that is such a travesty, quite frankly, from a country that has done so much to spread the gospel across the world. But I think they've laid their bed, and they are going to have to lie in it. So this is the reality of the new America. Now some people are thinking that this is just a court decision, and you see there are so many people who have been darned into accepting things, and until somebody stands up and speaks out openly, it's easy for these things to go on. You know, the old adage of evil triumphs when good men do nothing. And this is what is happening right now, because judges come up, these Christians come up who are making cakes. I didn't finish that story. Who are making cakes, and two men approach them to make cakes for them, to homosexuals who are going to get married. These Christians say, we are not going to make cakes for you, because we have a choice on who to make cakes. So the people, these guys go to court and say they are being discriminated against, and the Christians are fined $130,000 by the court. And that means they get out of business, because their business wasn't that big. They cannot absorb that fine and stay in business. So they were taken out of business and out of a livelihood. Now that is a very strong message from the courts, that you have to forcefully accept homosexuals in regardless of what you're doing. Now I was seeing in the United Kingdom, a lady who uses her house because so many people come to Scotland for holidaying there and things like that. So she rents out part of the rooms in her house to people during the holiday season, that sort of thing, to earn some extra income. An old couple, and they are Christians, and this a homosexual couple come. They say, no, we are not going to let you here. We have a right in whom to accept into our house. And these people go and sue them. The only reason that this couple survived being fined heavily is because it was their house. Okay, it was not an official lodge or an official hotel. Because if you are a hotel and you're officially in business, then that's different. But these people said, there is no way we are going to let homosexuals come and stay in our house. I mean, we aren't going to do that. The rooms we are giving you were the rooms in which we raised our children, because that was an elderly couple. We raised our children in those rooms. We are not going to let you homos come here and defile them with your rubbish. So anyhow, so now this is taking root across, and people are being silenced forcefully, and they are imposing these things on people. And now you see, at least they still have a democracy, so they can still vote this, and we still have something that is happening here. We can still determine the leadership of this country, which is why I told you earlier, last week actually, I told you, be serious about praying for the direction that this country takes. You are the salt of this earth. You are the salt of this country where God put you. Make sure that you do the things that are right, because after some time it gets out of hand. I told you here before that don't accept those arguments that who cares what people do behind closed doors. They don't want to do it behind closed doors. That's why they want it legislated. Now, these Christians who are being taken out of business by very repulsive court orders, or, you know, very cruel court orders, were people who probably once said, who cares what people do behind closed doors? But they are not doing it behind closed doors. They are starting there, but they want to put it in your face. And that is biblical. That is clearly biblical. I told you, Jesus said, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be the days of the Son of Man. And the days of the Son of Man coming are at hand. They are so close. And I told you here before that in the days of Lot, the homosexuals were forceful. They had power. They can come and invade your house and say, bring out that man. We want to sleep with him. And Lot is forced. Imagine a scenario where Lot is forced to send out his virgin daughters and say, at least sleep with these ones. Because by the time a man sends out his daughter, it means he is totally powerless against this avalanche of raping homosexuals. So he says, at least have these daughters. They said, don't waste our time. We did not come here for women. Bring out those men. Okay? Now, if the men were not angels and if they are not turned them blind, I mean, that was going to be a very bad scenario. And now this is all over the Bible. There is nowhere where homosexuals are not rapists. It's in the Bible. Just go and look. Look in Judges 19 and 20. Look in the days of Lot. They have that characteristic in them. Okay? Now, I've told you that. So don't accept those arguments of, you know, it all starts when the society starts accepting it in their mind. No, this is a part of life. This is a part of how things are done. Don't let that reasoning creep into your mind. Because when you do, you accept it slowly by slowly. And they are making ground. And it's going to come to a very bad level. Now, I'm going to read for you this before I leave this. But I'm telling you that this is now the beginning of the fall of the United States. I've told you it is in the Bible. Not that it states it is going to fall, but that there's the Russia and China, which are going to be involved in the Gog and Magog war, are going to become the bigger powers in the world. Now, you're going to think this is outrageous because of what you're seeing right now, but biblical prophecy is not asking for your opinion. So I'm just here to tell you that is what is going to happen, whether you believe it or not. But you're going to see it within the next 1 or 2 years. It is going to be a reality. So I don't even have to argue with you. I'll just tell you, come back and we talk maybe at this time next year. Now, there's somebody, a friend of mine, who sent me this, and I'm going to read it for you just so that you understand what we are dealing with here. He says, I've got a friend in Toronto. While exchanging, he sent me this. So this is the message he sent him. He said, in September, Ontario, which is a city in Canada, will subject our kids. Now, he's there. He has a family there. He has children there. He said they will subject our kids to a new sex education curriculum, and among the things that will be taught is what they call gender expression, and they are taught there are 6 different genders. Now, for us, we know 2, men and women. Okay. Now, they are talking that there are 6 different genders, male, female. Now, that's where our knowledge ends for us, but for them, there is 6. Now, there is male, there is female, there is two-spirited, there is transgender, there is transsexual, and then there is intersex. I don't know what that is, but these are now being taught to children. Okay, and he says this will be taught to kids from grade 1 to grade 8. That is from 6 years old to 13. And it will be taught along with other things, as in it is part of the curriculum. So as they are teaching them mathematics, as they are teaching them algebra, they are also teaching them these genders. And it will be taught, I'm reading the message, along with other things, to children 6 to 13 years. They will also be taught things like masturbation, like sex texting, like anal intercourse, like oral sex, to children between 6 and 13. I know this is in the curriculum. In other words, they will be taught it as well as mathematics, as well as science, as well as algebra and all those other things. They will be taught these things. I'll read them again. They will be taught that there are 6 different genders: male, female, two-spirited, transgender, transsexual, and intersex. They will also be taught masturbation, sex texting, anal intercourse, oral sex. Now, that is in Canada. Now, this is how crazy the world is going. Now, imagine if you're a parent, your 6-year-old being taught about these things, about masturbation, about sex texting. I mean, now, and you don't see that this is purely devil, demonic. But you know, some people are going to believe because it comes from the West, because it comes from people who are developed, our development partners, then it is okay. And it is just, they are planning to create a generation of totally messed up children. Now, what kind of children are these going to grow up to be? Imagine. Now, this is the world in which you are bringing forth your children. Now you have to make sure that you don't become complicit in all this happening by keeping quiet. Now he goes on to say that in that syllabus that they have introduced, the words love and marriage don't even appear anywhere in the curriculum. Okay? Sex is being taught as a recreational activity for pleasure apart from marriage. In other words, sex is being taught as purely recreational, like going out to the roller coaster, or like going to swim, or like going to play computer games, or all the other recreation activities. So children between 6 years and 13 years, note that, taught that there are different ways of recreation. One of them is, you can go to the roller coaster, you can go to the movies, you can go out, but also, you can also, you know, do these things which I've told you. Masturbation, sex testing, anal sex, oral sex. Imagine, 6 to 13 years. Now, this would be outrageous if it was taught to adults. But now it is being taught as part of the curriculum to 6 years. Now, remember, these countries do not accept homeschooling. And they also subject Christian schools to the same curriculum that all secular schools have. Countries like Germany do not accept homeschooling. You have to take your children to the same schools that everybody takes them, which are controlled by the government, so that they create a generation of people who believe exactly like them. Now, to know this was outrageous, I'm reading this message again. Teachers went on strike in March to demonstrate against how can we teach children things like those, because even the teachers are embarrassed. And now these are not even Christian teachers, these are just teachers. But in order to stop them, a law was legislated banning strikes. So teachers are going on strike. They say, no, now you're not even allowed to strike. Now, on the day that the homosexuals were planning to have a big parade in town, in the city of Toronto, a huge parade, they were planning to basically show forth numbers and everything. There was a heavy downpour all the weekend, throughout the weekend, which had never happened before. There was a heavy rain throughout the weekend, and the parade was flopped totally and did happen. Now, this is what is happening in some of those countries. Do you want to see it here in Uganda? Just make sure, number one, you pray for your nation, pray for your leaders, and also decide, don't vote people on the basis of sentiment. Vote them on the basis of what they stand for vis-a-vis what you believe. Now, enough said about that. Now, let's move on to something else. A week ago, soon after I'd finished last show, it was announced that in the month of September, Pope John Paul II is going to go and visit the United States in September. Ugandans still believe he's going to come here in November. They are lying themselves. He is not. But in this month of September, he's going to visit the United States. Now that is confirmed. And he is going to do two things. Number one, he's going to address the UN General Council. Now that is such a powerful thing in Bible prophecy, because it is a fulfillment of so many things. Now we know that the Pope is going to be the head of the one world accepted religion, which is going to be the apostate church, which the Bible talks about in the book of 2 Thessalonians, which has to precede before the coming of the Antichrist, and then becoming before the revealing of the Antichrist, then before the return of the Lord in the rapture. Now, those three things have to happen. Now, the Pope is going to address, first of all, he's going to address the U.S. Congress. Okay? Isn't that amazing? The first Pope ever to address the U.N. Congress. Now, this is such a shocker, because Americans, because they ran away from persecution by the Catholic Church, most of them were pilgrims of the Catholic Church in Europe, went there, and there are two people whom they had sworn will never be president of America. For a number of reasons, or at least whom they thought would never be president of America. One of them was a Catholic, the second was a black. Okay, now all those have happened. The first, of course, John F. Kennedy was a Catholic and was president of America, but it is even rumored that's one of the reasons why he was assassinated not too long into his presidency. So the animosity between the nation of America and Catholics has been ages long. Now suddenly you have the head of the Catholic Church going to address the UN Congress at the invitation of the leader of the Congress. Now that is extraordinary, and is going to be very powerful in all this Bible prophecy thing. But that's not all. He's going to address the UN, the Pope. This is amazing, because we know the Pope is going to be the leader of the, I've told you this, is going to be the leader of the one world apostate religion in the end time. We know that for a fact. He is going to be the false prophet, what the Bible calls the biblical false prophet, spoken of in Revelation 13. Okay, now we know it is the Pope. I know that for a fact, an absolute fact. It is unquenchable. What I kind of still doubted way back was whether it is this Pope. Okay, but I know that all popes have called in their encyclicals. Now, popes release, every pope releases probably one or two or three, but very rarely in their papacy do they release encyclicals. Now, encyclicals are supposed to be, statement of what the Pope believes in regard to dogma, to religious dogma. In other words, he's releasing to them a statement of what Catholics should believe. Now, here is what the Pope says. Remember the Vatican Council, from about 150 years ago, decided that the Pope is infallible. In other words, he's incapable of any mistake. In other words, he's like God. Just like we believe and we know that God is infallible. God does not make mistakes. Now, the Catholics believe the Pope is also like God. He does not make any mistakes. He's incapable of a mistake. That's what is in the Catholic dogma. And that is a fact. It was decided by the Vatican Council in 1863 and 64. Now, so the Pope releases an encyclical, which is a document that now, behold, all Catholics, this is what you should believe in the papacy of, let's say, John Paul II, or the previous Pope who is now emeritus, or Benedict, or Pope Francis. All of them have released encyclicals. Now the Pope, this current Pope Francis, has recently released an encyclical, and was talking about matters to do with environment, with immigration. And now, of course, this, even so many conservative Catholics are kind of bitten by this, because usually the encyclicals are talking about theological issues. Things of what do we believe in regard to this, what do we believe in regard to, let's say, even issues that have been they are under pressure to discuss, like female priesthood, like priests marrying and things like that. But popes release encyclicals on matters of theology in regard to the Catholic Church. Now this Pope has released things on environment and politics. Everything he's talking about is environment politics. We know some of the statements he's made. Evolution is true. That means the Bible is wrong, in his own words. And he said God is not a magician who just says things and they come to pass. We know that's what the Bible says. So pure and simple, this Pope does not believe in the Bible. Okay, he has said that himself. He has gone against biblical positions which are known. So now we know that. But we've always known that the Catholics don't necessarily believe in the Bible. They might read a few segments of it, but they are not ready to, receive it. At least the Roman Catholics, in their, original form. Of course, they are now Catholics who are, you can't hold people together, because belief is a very personal thing. Now, there are people even within that church who are finding God in their own way and, worshipping God. But we know that this is what they believe. Now, the Pope releases an encyclical talking about things like immigration, environment, poor people. We have to watch the environment, protect the earth. Now, these are messages of these are Freemasonry messages, because this message of Mother Earth, this is New Age stuff. Mother Earth, protect the earth, global warming. They first started by calling it global warming, apparently saying that the temperatures of the world are increasing slowly by slowly, and there's going to be some kind of apocalypse not long from now if that doesn't stop. But then scientists turned around and said no, actually it increases 1 year, then it reduces the next year, then it increases another year. So over a period of around 20 years, it has not changed at all on average, because it goes up and down and up and down and up and down. So it says it hasn't changed at all, even over the last 100 years. So they turned it around from global warming to what they now call climate change, which is also another hoax. Okay, now you are saying,
Who are you to say it is a hoax when the whole world is believing it? Well, you believe what you want to believe. Me, I'm telling you it's a hoax. Okay? It's a hoax, and the purpose of it, I know. Not that I'm going to discuss it right here, right now, but I'll tell it to you one time, and why it is very important for them to promote this whole climate change thing. And there are also some, I'm not the only skeptic about it. There are so many scientists who totally don't believe it. You go and do your research. But of course, they don't own media houses and what? They don't own Newsweek and Time Magazine. They don't own The Economist. They don't own CNN. They don't own... So, their voice is somehow hidden there and obscured in some magazines and some documents there, which you have to check out, which I do. So, it's all a hoax, okay? And now, this is from scientists who don't even believe in the Bible. Okay. Some of whom believe. I don't want you to think that all scientists don't believe in the Bible. That's what has been promoted by the New World Order, but it is totally untrue. It is totally untrue. So now they are going around that whole pop environment, protect Mother Earth, and things like that. Now, the Pope is going to address the UN General Council. The UN General Council, there have been different suggestions by the UN. There are different ways in which the Bible talks that there's going to be 10 kingdoms, 10 specific kingdoms that are going to be ruling over the world, determining everything about the world at the end. Now, it is possible they will come through the UN. Now, the UN currently has 5 permanent members of the Security Council plus 1. The 5, you know, Britain, America, Russia, China and France. Those are the countries that were involved in fighting against Germany in the Second World War, that had a say in all of that. Now, it previously it was the Soviet Union, now it was all turned over to Russia. Those are the countries that have the power of veto. But there is 5 plus 1 now, because they have had to add Germany, because Germany is the most powerful country in Europe by distance and is basically running the whole of Europe from out of their pockets. We all know that they are running the whole Eurozone and what. So they had to add 5 plus 1. So now that makes 6. But there's a suggestion to add others, which might include Brazil, which might include India, and all the other industrialized nations. It might even come down to having Brazil, India, China is already there. Might come down to having South Africa, and eventually they might actually come down to 10, because right now there are 5 permanent security members, then another who are rotating members. So they are saying, why instead of having rotating members, where even Uganda has its time on as a permanent member of the UN Security Council, why don't we have 10 permanent members and no rotating? So they get all the 10 biggest economies in the world, all the most powerful countries in the world, and have them in there, okay? And all of them have veto power and have the same power that now the 5 have in the UN. That is one of the plans. Now, when you see those countries getting to 10, or when you see the so-called G7, which was previously the G8, but now that Russia has fallen out with the West, which is now G7, with the exclusion of Russia, if you see the G8 falling into Australia, by the way, is going to be one of those countries which will be included, because they are now having a big say in world politics. If you see those countries turning to 10, then you know that we are really, really close, really close to the end time. Very, very close. And this is happening very fast. You are going to see how much global politics is going to change within the next 1 year. It's going to change tremendously. You'll be shocked at how much. Now, I'm going to tell you today what the failure by Greece to pay their debt of $1.7 billion to the International Monetary Fund means for the whole Euro crisis. I mean, for the whole Eurozone and the European Union. I'm going to tell you what it is going to turn out into, what's going to pan out into very shortly before the end of this program. But let me finish this point. So now we are seeing the combination of a one world government at the UN combining with a one world religion, because the Pope has spent almost all the months he's been in office, he has spent almost all that time doing what he calls ecumenical work, reaching out to the Patriarch of the Greek Orthodox and, you know, all that. He went to Constantinople recently and reached out to one of the big religions there. He's reached out to Muslims. He's been to Palestine. So he's actually been doing what you call ecumenical work. And he recently had a big ecumenical council in which they had a debate, ecumenical debate, led by the Pope and hosted by the Pope in the Vatican, where all sorts of people, Dalai Lama and everybody, gathered together, all sorts of religious leaders of any persuasion, from Hindus to Buddhists to African traditionalists, everybody was gathered there under the umbrella of the Pope, and they were trying to find what they have in common and what goals they have in common. And so he has, the Pope is kind of now beginning to lead what is going to look like, very much look like, a one world religion. And now all this is actually in the Bible. Now when he's finished with all the ecumenical work, now he's combining his one world religion with the one world government that the UN is pushing. Now that's why it is very significant that Pope Francis is going to address the UN General Council in September of this year. When I read that, I was just like, my, how Bible prophecy is coming to pass before our very, very, very eyes. Now, I'll tell you, in Revelation 13, the first 8 chapters talk about the one world government led by the Antichrist. Okay? Then the next verses talk about the one world religion led by the false prophet, who we now know is the papacy. Okay? Then the next verses talk about the one world economic system, what we call the triple six, and nobody can buy or sell unless they have, you know, the mark of the beast and the mark of his name. Now the promotion of the Pope, the Pope promoting UN, what UN stands for, I've told you what the whole basis of the UN thing, the Pope promoting what UN stands for in terms of immigration, in terms of global, what they call climate change and things like that, is a very powerful movement of Rome combining with the one world government, which the UN is promoting. Now read here some scripture, just to remind you, because we've read all the scriptures before. From Revelation 13, it says, "Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns." Now we told you the 10 horns are what I've just talked to you about. "And on his horn, 10 crowns, and his heads had a blasphemous name." I've told you the horns here, especially if you combine this scripture with Revelation 17, which I am not going to read, the horns refer to 10 like kingdoms or nations, which are going to be working together with him. The Bible actually says they will give all their power to the Antichrist or to the beast, and they will surrender all their power to him, and like their work will be to make sure that the beast, like, controls all the world. Okay. Now it says, "Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard." I've told you what all these things mean. A leopard is a symbol of Germany. His feet were like the feet of a bear, which is a symbol of Russia, and his mouth is like the mouth of a lion, which is the symbol of Britain. But it's significant that the mouth is the mouth of a lion, because English, which is of course originated from England or Britain, is actually the language of not just the European Union, but the language of the UN, and turning out to be the major language. They currently have so many other languages, but English is like the major one. "Then the dragon, which is the devil, gave him his power, his throne, and his great authority." I've told you this is a duplication of what God did when he gave all his power and authority to Jesus Christ. Jesus said that in Matthew 28, "All authority or power has been given unto me." By who? By God. So in the same way, the dragon, who is the devil, is going to give all his authority to this Antichrist. Then he says in verse 3, "And I saw one of his heads as it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed after the beast." Now people here misrepresent this to mean that the beast is going to have like a bullet in his hand, and it's going to be like as if he's dead and he's going to be resurrected. But he says one of his heads. The beast has 7 heads, okay? And later on it tells you what 7 heads are. So it's when it says one of the heads are wounded, it doesn't say that one part, the beast which you see in the movies, which is a total misrepresentation of what the scripture says here. It doesn't say that the Antichrist will be shot in the head, then his head will heal miraculously in the world. But one of those heads that of the beast, of that those kingdoms, okay, of the end, will appear to be dead, then it will come back. then he says, and I saw one of the heads as it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshipped the dragon, that is the devil, who gave authority to the beast, in the same way that we worship Jesus Christ and we worship God. Okay, when we worship Jesus, we worship God the Father. So they worshipped the dragon, who is the devil, and who gave authority to the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And he gave him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Those are the last 3.5 years of the 7 year, the final 7 years that I've spoken about here so many times before. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and those who dwell in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and authority was given to him over every tribe, every tongue, and every nation. And all who dwell on the earth will worship the beast, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. Now I'm telling you this, that now the combination of this one world government, which is being formulated by UN, now he says in verse 9, he who leads into captivity shall go into captivity, and he who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Then I saw another beast that had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. Now I explain this to you. This second beast is the false prophet. Now the false prophet here, clearly in the book of Revelation, does one thing, and he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence, and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, who is the Antichrist, whose deadly wound was healed. Now that's why it is very important for those two things to be combined together, for those two that's why it is significant, rather, that the Pope is going to the UN. I'll continue explaining to you the significance of that. Now, I'd promised you that I was going to tell you what it means for Greece to default on the Eurozone. I am not going to, because I've run out of time, so I'm very sorry about that. But before I go, I have to tell you that thank you so much, all who are contributing toward the Watchman Conference, which is now exactly 3 weeks away. I request all of you to take time and pray for it. Pray for it, because this is an important time for our country, when we have to warn them, because not everybody is listening to this. Okay, but the messages that we preach there are going to be spread across, and even to politicians and people like that, so that they know what is happening. That's why it is important to us and to God that you partner with this conference. And I told you this is extremely good ground. So now, at the beginning of this month, now we have 3 weeks left to the conference, and the preparations are ongoing. Next week we have another partners meeting at Open House next to Watoto Parking. All the people who were there before, and those who haven't even been there before, please come. We are talking about organization. We are not fundraising. It's not a wedding meeting. So you actually, on the contrary, we are not asking you to come and contribute money. We don't do it like that. But come and just be a part of the preparations, everybody, if you can. It is going to be next Wednesday at 6:30 at Open House. Open House is exactly next to Watoto Church Parking, and it's behind at the restaurant, not in the main auditorium. So please be there, and please continue to sow into the Watchman Conference. If the money you have is bigger than what can be handled on the mobile money number, call that number and tell them that I have money that is this amount, and I want to sow it, and I'm not comfortable doing it on mobile money, and we shall find a way of getting that seed from you. The number, though, is 0780-292-555. The number is 0780-292-555. Please note that number. And please continue sending those seeds, because we appreciate them. People have been sending, but we're still welcoming those seeds, because the ground is very fertile. I guarantee you that we are doing everything the way the Lord wants us to do it. And as long as I do what the Lord wants us to do, if you partner with it, I am very sure you are going to get an increase. This is largely about you. And remember, I told you, if you're a Christian and you're a businessman, this is your opportunity to thrive and to shine. Even if you are not a businessman, if you're a Christian and a worker, and you listen to the message I preached last time of wanting to be in those positions of leadership, connect with this. This has all that leadership anointing. Connect with it. And I'm telling you that we are going to see a changed nation, because the nation has to listen to this gospel. Now, thank you so much for listening to us here on The Watchman. Thank you so much for joining us. God bless you.
Do you want to see how Bible prophecy fits perfectly into contemporary news? What's this business about the Antichrist and the mark of the beast? Who is the Antichrist? Be him alive? How shall the number 666 be introduced in commerce? The Watchman dissects fascinating insights into the end times and Bible prophecy. Make a date with The Watchman every Wednesday, 9 to 10 p.m. only on Spirit FM 96.6. Tune in and stay on